Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. In a recent study by the Harris Poll on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 71% of hiring decision makers are willing to hire contingent workers to meet their business needs. But more than half of those hiring expect to face challenges in finding qualified candidates. Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier. Express is in the business of recruiting talent. Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your hiring challenges. Visit expresspros.com for a location near you. You know, I don't even know where to start with this because it's the comfort, it's the style, it's the whole look. That's what I love about my Tecovas. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend, and Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Shop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Summer is coming and that means vacation. But if you are a parent, you know how fast your kids grow and that means nothing from last summer will fit and we need to get the kids new summer clothes. Well, if you're looking for summer clothes for the kids like me, you are in luck. Macy's Friends and Family Sale is coming and trust me, you don't want to miss it. Get an extra 30% off brands that almost never go on sale like Levi's, Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Nike, Gap, Hotel Collection, Lego, and more. And 15% off beauty, makeup, and more. Plus free shipping when you spend $25. April 25th to May 5th, Macy's.com and in store.
Wind Down with Janet Kramer and Michael Kaufman, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey guys.
What's up, guys?
So before we just came on here, I told Easton, I said, I have a new song coming for you. And he was just like, woohoo! And that was.
I mean, I'm losing my mind.
I'm speechless.
And so I was going to play a little snippet and I was like, oh, well, let's press play and then I'll do a little dee dee.
A little sneak peek.
But this is like the old, so I have about, probably like a million songs that I haven't cut from the past. And this is the one song that I have always wanted to cut and I never have.
It's so good.
But it's not going to be this slow. It's just going to be. I mean, this is before I got a record deal. So get ready for it. This is how much I love the song.
Would you describe this as a bop?
It's not a slow bop. It's a slow bop.
Tonight ain't the night for nothing but the whole truth. It's all I'm asking of you.
Yep, little sneak peek.
Wait, can we play the chorus?
No.
Why?
Because they're just going to have to wait.
No.
They're just going to have to wait.
Easton, I'll send it to you. So at least you have it.
But it's going to be a lot faster than that. But
I mean, that rips as it is. Like if you go faster, I might explode.
But it's a good little love song. But no, it's a song that I wrote my old producer that I used to work with at the label. And I was like, am I allowed to cut an old song that you guys passed on? And he's like, yeah. I was like, cool. Thanks.
Done.
Got the green light. So yeah, so I'm cutting that. So new music is on the way, East Dawn.
So when do you think we'll be able to add that to our playlist and everything? When's that going to hit shelves?
I'm thinking April. Maybe March.
Oh, wow, that's soon.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Well, Easton, I think you're going to play it at the El Rey Theater Show, right?
Yes, I am. Which we're coming to. Oh, hey, Easton, actually. So Wind Down's going on the road. We're going to Texas the first week of March. We're doing
San Antonio, Austin, Houston, Dallas, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, it's not recorded, but we just hang out. We just kind of interact with people. And at the end of the show, I sing. But we're also at the end of March coming to Sacramento and Los Angeles and Easton. Would you like to be our guest?
I would love to. Yay! That would be a dream come true. Thank you.
Maybe we can even have like an Easton duet.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, I was just wondering if I should buy a ticket or not. I was like, can I get on, you know, you got me on the list for the House of Blues and you were so nice to do that, but I don't want to assume that I can get that going forward.
Always
so
assume.
I was like,
always.
Jan, I'm about to buy a ticket, but I would be so honored to be part of the show. Thank you so much.
Well, everybody should definitely then go to janakramer.com to get their wind down tickets to also see Easton at the El Rey Theater. Mark would come, but he, it's past his, he has kids. Right?
I don't like going places or doing things.
I know. You're like me on a regular basis.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a new bop coming out, Mike?
No, I don't.
Yes, but you do.
What?
You sing all the time.
I do sing all the time. Which is funny. Someone just asked me recently, who was it? I don't remember. They're like, does Jana just sing all the time? Like at home? And, I was like, no, actually, I'm the one that sings all the time, and I have a terrible voice.
That's not true. You have a really good voice.
And it's just funny that the people that, like you, that can sing and do professionally don't sing at home.
Describe Ken. it's a fine line.
I don't know. Platinum selling singles.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Anyways, what's going on?
Jana can't handle the compliments.
Okay. Going real Michigan right now.
But I just think it's funny that the people that can't sing are the ones that are singing, and the ones that actually can don't at home.
You know what Michael's bop is right now, Mark, since you said bop? Michael's real obsessed with the Greatest Showman soundtrack. Oh. I mean, him and Jolie.
Oh, I love it.
Like
so good.
The amount of times
so good
that they're running around the house doing like singing those songs. What's your favorite one that you always sing?
Come Alive is great. I mean, The Greatest Showman's great.
Oh, it's great.
The one between Zac Efron and Hugh Jackman.
I mean, you
Never Enough is fantastic. That's like the ballad when Jolie hangs on the railing on the stairs.
And like you did this spin where he wiped out the other night doing it. What I would have given to have like my phone.
I wear my socks and I'm just like doing power slides and moonwalking all over the kitchen and stuff. And I feel like I have to ice my knee every time I'm done dancing because we just go at it and stuff. Fun. Even Jace is like spinning around, walking backwards, trying to moonwalk.
It's so cute. He'll spin and then turn around and like walk backwards like he's moonwalking.
It's amazing.
My kids went through a Greatest Showman phase too, but it wasn't nearly as long as the Frozen phase, and I wanted it to keep going. It shouldn't have ended because I'm with Mike. I love that entire soundtrack. The Other Side is the one you're referring to.
Yes.
But it's got to be said, as a former professional athlete who's now has to ice his knee after dancing to a Hugh Jackman song.
It's so bad. But I told Jana too, after I saw this movie and I'm obsessed with the soundtrack, I know Jana and I had this discussion before, but I'd love to bring it up with all of us right now.
Ooh,
and I'll go ahead
excited.
And I'll start by answering my own question because I'm that excited about it. So if there's any kind of genre movie, what kind of movie would you like to be in? Mine, before anyone goes, is I would love to be in any kind of military, like Lone Survivor, 13 Hours, any kind of type of military, shoot 'em up movie like that. Or my second on the My second on the complete opposite side of the spectrum is to be in like a Greatest Showman type musical movie with dance numbers and all that stuff. I would love it.
One of your like best friends is one of the biggest casting directors in Hollywood. So it's like just tell him that's what you want to do, and I'm sure he'll put you in one of those movies.
This is true.
And if you don't mind having like your wife, like, come on, like, where's the hookup here? Well, that's cool.
So,
I think that's pretty neat.
Yeah. Easton, I want to hear yours next.
Oh, man. I too love musicals. I would love to sing. I just want to sing and dance. That's all I want. I'd like to be in a superhero movie.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. I'd like to put on a super suit and fly around and blow up bad guys and
I could see you being in like a Deadpool.
I would love to be a meta superhero. I'd love to break some fourth walls,
Mark, I'm real curious to know what yours is.
I think I'd like to be in a sports movie, like a baseball player in a sports movie. I think that'd be pretty neat because that's a fantasy of mine because I can't do anything athletically, like literally nothing.
Really?
And growing up, I would go out for Little League because I loved baseball with such a passion. And I was always the one that they threw in right field and batted last because I couldn't hit the ball. I was so bad. But on a movie set, I could be amazing. Yeah. So I would say that.
Interesting.
I love it. Jana?
I mean, take a guess, guys. What do you think?
I know the answer.
Easton, Mark.
Well, this is weird because you're an actual actress in movies. So,
but I've never been in a certain type of movie I've always wanted to be in.
Oh.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Easton.
Okay, you're a big city girl that goes home to a small town.
I've done 5,000 of those. 5,001. I got another one coming soon.
So it's not that. It's not a romantic movie of any kind.
If I could go back, it would be, well, there's two things, since Mike did too. The first one is Pride and Prejudice. Mm-hmm. I want a Mr. Darcy so bad.
Oh, that's a good one. A period piece.
Mr. Darcy.
Period
piece. That's what she wants. Mr. Darcy. Like, oh, what a dream. Like, dreamboat. That movie is just my everything. And honestly, for the longest time, I was like, where's my Mr. Darcy?
Right here, baby.
Oh. And so then, I kind of want to play, like, remember that movie with Ben Affleck and Blake Lively? Oh, my gosh. I'm forgetting the movie now. Where she's like a total druggie.
The town.
I would want to be Blake Lively in The Town.
Oh, drug addicted mess? Okay.
I do. I think it'd be just like, I don't know.
This would be badass. Trash.
No, I just want to just, I want to be, I want to be Alex from One Tree Hill on like steroids.
Got it.
Yeah. So that's, I mean.
I'd love to see that.
I think that'd be fun. Or, I'm like, or. I need those like time, like, you know, About Time. That was so good with Rachel McAdams. I just would like to work.
I told Jana this, and this is, I feel like Jana sells herself short when it comes to her capabilities as an actress. And I was watching this behind the scenes thing on John Wick 3 and where Halle Berry was being interviewed. And just watching Halle Berry go through the training and everything, I was like, that's Jana. And I told Jana after I saw it, I was like, you need to put yourself out there, get out of your comfort zone, because your hard work and dedication when you are into something or like on a project or on a job is so intense. Like, you would kick ass in that training. You would kick ass in the physical, you know, requirements needed for a role like that. And you can be very intimidating. Your little cute self can be very intimidating. I've seen it. So I was like, you can do that stuff. And I really think you should try.
I know anytime my agent send me like a cop, I'm like, no, pass. Because I just feel so silly to be like, put him up.
Well, if you do it like that.
I know that if I was on set and I was in the costume and I had the gun, like I could be badass. But in the audition, I'd be like, Put him up.
Like, freeze, creep.
every person she'd be acting with be like, all right, here's a face mask. It's a picture of my husband. Just wear this if you need me to be angry.
Stop. Like we said in therapy, we're not going to make jokes. Well, now you're making jokes. So you can, but I can't.
No, I'm not making jokes. Oh, here we go. And then we're taking a turn.
Welcome to Wind Down, everybody.
Oh, that was a fun game.
I like that. I'm really excited. We have a really, really cool guest on today. Her name is Susan Stiffelman, and she's a badass. For over 30 years, Susan has worked with families to create greater harmony and deeper connection between parents and children, which I think is awesome. And then I was on her website, too, and Eckhart Tolle, Alanis Morissette, like they've all sang her praises. So, she's got a lot of great books out there too. Parenting Without Power Struggles, Raising Joyful, Resilient Kids While Staying Cool, Calm and Connected. Like, hello. So I'm excited to talk to her. Should we take an email before we talk to Susan?
Ooh, I love an early email.
An early email.
Let's see. Janet has issues in the bedroom. Mm. Janet says, and she says very nice things at the top here that I'd like to share with you. She says, hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
I'm a huge fan. I've loved you since One Tree Hill. I have fallen in love with your podcast. They are so informative and funny and make my day. Isn't that sweet?
That's very sweet.
Anyway.
Thank you.
She says, okay, so when my husband and I started dating, I wanted sex more than him. And over the years, the roles have reversed. Now he wants it way more than me. I have a 16-year-old and a 3-year-old. And I work a full-time job. And at night, I rock my son to sleep. Mm-hmm. That's like our mommy and son time. And then I lay him down. And then it's time to clean up toys. And then by the time I get to bed, all I want to do is sleep. I love, love, love my husband. I just don't know what to do.
So I can relate on both sides. Having said that, I feel like when you're that tired, because I get it, at the end of the day, it's so tiring. But if it's been longer than a certain period, you just got to do it. I think that's just my, it's just like your relationship is work, that involves work in the bedroom too. Whether sometimes you want to have the conversations and it's like, you don't want to fight. You don't want to have the deep drawn out conversations, but that's kind of like sex. You don't really want to have sex, but you got to do it because it's part of, it's a part of the relationship. It's a part of what, but I'm just saying, like, it's a part of what the man needs. It's a part of whether you want to or not, you know, it's kind of like, you just have to give a little bit.
Yeah, I think,
but is that, I mean, I feel like that's a very, I mean, husbands are nodding their head and they're thrilled with that answer. But is that the right answer? Is it the right to the, whatever? I've heard some women say that. If you want to keep your man happy, give it to him whenever he wants
no,
it.
No, not whenever.
No matter the situation, just give
no,
it to
I'm
him.
No, I'm not saying that. Not whenever. I don't think whenever, because I think that beats a dead horse. Like, especially, you shouldn't be giving something that you don't want whenever he wants. It's just a, hey, if whatever they come up with, maybe it, how, what is enough for him or that's also okay for her. Like, hey, I don't want to do it every week, but I could do it every 2 weeks. You know, that way it's like they kind of have this agreement. It doesn't make it as fun and as romantic, but when you get that far into marriage, it's kind of like, all right. But then also do fun ways to like spice it up. Like maybe if he would not do it so routine, like maybe if, or maybe mm-hmm. she'd want to do it too. Like maybe not at the end of the day, like maybe, hey, a little like lunch call. Fun time.
Mm-hmm.
Spice it up.
That's what I was thinking, is change up the time a little bit. Because sometimes first thing in the morning, before the kids wake up, might be a better option for whatever reason. Or yeah, maybe middle of the day somehow you can make it happen. That's probably a better idea. Only because I don't like whatever he wants.
No.
You know, if he wants it, do it. You know, I don't know. It just doesn't feel, it kind of feels wrong to me.
I agree with that too. I agree with it. It's not whenever he wants. But there are times, like get a timeline, I almost feel like. And then discuss that. What do you think, Mike?
I think the way I like received your point was I liked the comparison to just like you have to have conversations and talk out problems and conflict in marriage and in relationships. That's part of a necessity that you have to do. And you know, sex is part of the physical connection and intimacy of relationships. So it's just like Jana said, that takes work as well as everything else intellectually and emotionally. So it's just one of those things you got to consider that it's not something where it should just be taken off the table. Like, I'm just too tired for a month. Why can't you understand I'm tired? But eventually you have to, I don't have to do anything, but you should. I mean, you should want to connect with your partner. You should want to please them and do those things.
Yeah.
It's just part of it all. It's part of marriage. It's part of work.
Yeah.
Working at the relationship.
I mean, yeah, it's just funny because when I was talking to, and Erin, my trainer, has been so open about her sex life and how, you know, she even said it on our podcast that they don't really have sex a lot. It's every like 6 months or something like that. And in, you know, in my mind, I'm like, okay, What is that lack of intimacy then do to the relationship? Or is it okay and that's just what works for them? You know, like maybe that is just what works for both of them.
Which is fine.
Yeah, which is totally fine. But I think just figuring out what works for each other, where that the girl isn't just compromising or the guy isn't just compromising like himself, mm-hmm. like kind of to your point, what you were saying, Mark, you know, not having to compromise like.
Where no one's needs are put above somebody else's.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do we have another one before Susan calls?
Sure do. Let's see. Kelsey has some suggestions for us. Sure. She says she heard you talking to Jill Frost, Super Nanny, and one of the you mentioned your issues with night training, potty training at night, what a pain in the ass it is to change the sheets at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Well, she has a hack for you. She says all you need are two mattress protectors and two fitted sheets. Just make the bed twice, as it were. Then when an accident occurs, you stumble into your child's room half asleep, you strip the first layer away, and behold, the second layer is already there, nice and clean and dry. Hope this helps. If so, give me a shout-out. Shout-out to Kelsey. And the other one, she wanted to mention her favorite Birds and the Bees book. Her daughter is 5, and she is the most educated and informed for her age. The book explains where babies come from in an age-appropriate manner. It's called It's Not the Stork, a book about girls, boys, babies, bodies, and friends.
Interesting. I like the double sheet thing. I never really thought about that. Usually I just put down those crib protector squares, but I like the double the double sheet crib or mattress protector. That's kind of great. And the birds.
It's like the princess and the pea. She just gets higher and higher and higher.
I know that song.
You do? Sing it, Easton. It's your movie. Go for it.
Hey, that double sheet thing, it's been a couple weeks since I've wet the bed, but the that double sheet thing went viral on the internet a couple, like 6 months ago. It was like, hey, if you hate doing laundry or hate making your bed, just like put like 3 or 4 fitted sheets down. Then when one gets dirty, you take it off and then you're good to go. Like you do it in advance. But my personal opinion is I think bodily fluids can soak through. I don't think one sheet is going to do the job.
Well, that's the mattress protector.
I'm still against it. I'm still against it.
The man has spoken. He's against it.
So they were saying to do that, like, as adults, like, just put on multiple fitted sheets?
As adults.
What about pillowcases?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
This person doesn't seem to care, I guess.
That's the worst of it for me.
Those other sheets are just as offensive, I think.
Hey, Mark, question for you.
Yes.
Where have you guys gone on a family vacation?
The hard thing for us is that all of my wife's family, and she has a large family, and they're all in Wisconsin. And so whenever we have an opportunity to take time off, we pretty much go to Wisconsin. Mm. We've also visited my sister in Seattle. As far as straight up family vacations, they've been few and far between, but we've done San Diego a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. And gosh, is that it? That's sad if that's it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to like.
Well, we did Mexico once. Okay. We did Puerto Vallarta once.
Okay.
Yeah, there's not been a lot because when we have time off, we head to Wisconsin.
Right.
And it's also tough being down here in the lower corner of the country. It's like Vegas, San Diego, San Francisco. Otherwise, you got a long trip ahead of you.
That's know. True. That's what we were kind of. So I'm starting to have anxiety just from the amount of like stuff that's piling on this year. And I hate being away from the kids. Like I personally like to travel with the kids. Mike doesn't like to travel with the kids. And so it's that kind of battle between us both because I personally would like to bring them on the tour and I would like to, you know, maybe then stay when we're in LA for a week or so and have the kids here. And then I'm like, yeah, we can then go to the beach and then, you know, do some this. And you know, he's just more of like, you know, don't get the kids out of their routine, which I understand. But then also I have I'm left with the mom guilt of being away and being away so much and having to like fly to things and not taking them with me. So it's just been like really, really weighing on me. And then, so I was like, well, can we at least plan a family vacation where it's just us four? It's not, you know, going to Michigan or Virginia and it's just us four as a family and we go somewhere. And that way I have something to almost look forward to in a way, knowing that I'm going to have like this great quality time. It's so expensive to travel as a family of four.
Oh my gosh.
Oh
yeah,
my
really,
God.
Really is.
I'm like.
And you want a third kid.
I know. But it's like the flights. I mean, we even just planned our 4th of July to go to Michigan and we had to cut costs and we're flying one place and then renting a car here to go to A to B. Because I'm like, how? I'm like, now I see where my parents, we didn't travel as much.
Mm-hmm.
It's so expensive and I just can't rationalize paying $2,000 for airfare. And then the hotels. And I'm like, $10,000 for just a king room and at Atlantis? Like what? So if any suggestions for a nice family, I'd like a beach preferably. Email the podcast with some great family vacation ideas. Easton, what's our email address?
That's winddown@iheartradio.com.
Because I really would like to do Atlantis. But it's so expensive.
Mm-hmm. It is. And also keep in mind, I understand not wanting to break the kids from the routine because they have a hard time with that. But if you never, ever break them from the routine, you're never going to be able to break them. It's going to be that much more traumatic because you're going to have to someday. Mm. And if they've never been broken of it, I think it's going to be a real hard time for them.
I like that.
Yes. But.
Nope. Also, my therapist said.
Yes. Also.
It's also, yes and or yes. Also.
Yes. Also. My thing, I was talking to a buddy of mine about it the other day, is when they're this young, they're not going to remember the experience yet.
I totally disagree with you. Jolie's at such a great age.
Yes, Jolie is starting to be at that age. But it's depending on where we're going. I mean, yeah, beach trip, cool. Disney World, awesome. But, you know.
Here's my devil's advocate.
Overseas or out of the country or anything like that. Like, it's not, they won't remember.
But when we travel, like, we are capable of bringing them with us for work. Mm-hmm. And right now, they're not in school. So in my mind, I'm like, we're not going to then take them out when they're in school. Because it's like, then I'm going to have you being like, well, we can't miss any days of school. Mm-hmm. And their attendance. So it's like, now's the time that I can have that. That we can have that time together with the kids, because in a year and a half, Jolie's going to be in elementary school and Jolie's not going to be able to miss any days of school because, you know, I get that you're wanting to be like strict about school. But right now, like now's the time I'm going to like meet me now halfway where it's like, let them travel with us and be a part of our routine and have make those memories. And yeah, Jace isn't going to remember, but I'm going to remember having that time with him and not being away and traveling so much.
They're going to see the pictures and the videos, which will at least, they'll either, even if they don't remember it, they'll think they do because of all the pictures and videos.
Damn it, Mark.
It's not like when we were kids.
Damn you, Mark.
Exactly. You know? And it's like that time, like Jace, if this is our last kid, like he's so precious and Jolie's like so fun right now. And in no time, literally in a year and a half, she will be gone every single day at school. Every single day.
I hear you.
And then we're going to be working around her schedule to go on family vacations because you don't want to take them out of school.
I hear you. And you make valid points.
Thank you.
My question to that is, where does it come in when, you know, I feel like when we talk about finances... And recently, because this January wasn't as good as last January, you're freaking out. And so we wanted to be very cost conscious, which is understandable. But then when it comes to, oh, no, but let's travel with the kids and buy 4 tickets and, you know, do all these things. It's like not a big deal. Money's still money.
I totally hear you. And valid point. In my mind, though, when it's with the kids, I don't give a crap because I'm with my babies. I'll pay the extra $500 or whatever to be with my babies because they're, you know, that time is so precious. And then I'm working and I don't have mom guilt. Like I have them with me. How cool is that? Don't even care. That's why I didn't even care about doing the Airbnb for a week and a half in LA, which we're not doing now because dad, like just our nanny, Kylie, she's even like, oh, she's like, hey, we should try to, you know, convince dad. And I was like, oh, honey, I'm already on it. Like, I'm already trying.
Yeah,
to, like,
I got Jana and Kylie just up in both ears trying to be like, come on, dad, can we go? Can we go here? Can we go there?
And then it's like, and I have to go back to Kylie and be like, he said no to the LA trip. And then we're like, damn it, dad. But I think I got you though with this whole school thing.
You made a valid point with the school thing, and thanks. I'll be more lenient moving forward after the LA trip.
It's a win. Hashtag win.
It's interesting that you already know you're going to have conflict over Jenna wanting to pull them out of school and Mike never wanting to pull them out of school. 1,000%. That's interesting.
Because I already feel that. That's why I'm like, okay, now then give me it right now so that I then don't, I'll then respect you more with what you want, but yet I won't pull you as much. I just love having, like, Jolie was my road dog, man. She was with me since she was 6 weeks old on the road.
Mm-hmm.
On a bus, toured with me everywhere I went, went to New York with me, strolling around, did Dancing in the Stars. Like, she's like my roadie. And I miss having my kids with me when I'm out. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel as good.
At what point, and this isn't directed towards you, this is just on this general topic of discussion.
Oh, I have a great point to this.
So, at what point, and this
is, and Dr. Stiffelman is ready.
Okay.
Okay.
And we can maybe touch on this after, but my question is, at what point does it become selfish to want to bring them everywhere?
I think they're experiencing new places. I talked to one of Rascal Flatts' daughter who was on the road since she was a baby. And I pulled her aside when I saw her just a couple months ago. And I said, how was it? I just want to know from your point of view, how was it growing up on a bus? And she goes, it was the coolest experience of my life. And she's like, I feel like I'm more mature. I've seen so many amazing places. And I was like, awesome, cool, thanks. That's what I needed to hear.
Right, but how old is she?
She's 15.
Right. So she had some formidable years where she was out on the road experiencing that.
Right.
The kids aren't that old to be experiencing.
No, she was she started as a baby, so right. She grew up.
But she didn't really remember until...
No, she totally did. She 1,000% remembered every second of it. Okay,
all right. Let's take a break and talk to Dr. Stiffelman.
Okay.
Did you know that 95% of pregnant women are not getting their recommended daily intake of key omega-3s? That's where Ritual comes in. Their prenatal contains 350 milligrams of eco-friendly, vegan omega-3 DHA in every serving, sourced from algal oil instead of fish. I loved Ritual. I took it when I was pregnant with Roman. I also now take their multivitamin. It's just an amazing everyday thing that I know is good for the body. A prenatal multivitamin made traceable with vegan, bioavailable, and clinically studied key nutrients for before and during pregnancy, like omega-3 DHA to support baby's brain development and choline and methylated folate to support baby's neural tube development. Their vitamins are rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. Ritual works with world-class certification bodies to validate their products. Why settle for a multivitamin you're not 100% sure about? Ritual was literally built on trust, so you know it's the real deal. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/wine. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women prenatal to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/wine for 25% off. So I've recently got some boots in the mail that I had to try because I'm a boot girl. I love boots, but wow, I'm never going back to Tecovas, you guys. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather and custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots. They always say moms are really hard to shop for, but the truth is moms will love everything, especially if it's coming from Macy's. Macy's makes shopping for Mother's Day easy. Macy's Mother's Day gift guide has the perfect gift to make mom feel special. You can shop by price, $25 and under to $100 and under, or category like fragrance, handbags, and more. So if you don't know what to get them, Macy's got you covered. Or they have gift lists if you are really stuck, like the list for the mom who has everything, for the plant lover or for grandma. Some of their top Mother's Day gifts include Dolce & Gabbana perfume, Coach floral printed leather, Cassie crossbody bag. Whatever you need this Mother's Day, find it at Macy's. Shop Macy's.com/giftfinder. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles in operation. Compatible device and vehicle require.
So excited. We have Dr. Susan Stiffelman on the phone.
Hello.
Hey, Susan.
Hey,
it's Jan
Susan,
and Mike.
How you doing?
Hi, fine. Thanks. Nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you too. Thank you so much for coming on our podcast. But Susan, you are a marriage and family therapist, and you've been working for over 30 years. What do you have what's your background? How'd you get into family therapy?
I was actually a teacher first, and after being a teacher for a long time, and I was always a little bit of a renegade, understanding that not every child processed or took in information in the same way, and yet we were asking kids to sort of do the cookie cutter thing. And so I became more interested in alternative ways of learning and processing and the various forms of intelligence. And that sort of led me to see that a lot of kids who were having trouble in academic ways showed up with emotional issues, or vice versa. Kids who were having emotional issues might manifest it by having trouble with school or homework. And so I ended up becoming a family therapist to address both sides of the picture, both the emotional and psychological, as well as the more educational and academic. And one thing led to another. I started to do workshops and found myself deciding that really parents could get further with some of the ideas I was teaching if they learned some of the strategies instead of sending me their kids to be fixed. So that kind of led me to doing workshops and the books and things like that. I have worked with children directly for decades, but more commonly I found that when you help parents make some shifts in how they're approaching their kids, you know, how they're coming, helping them come alongside their kids rather than coming at them in a more adversarial way, and letting go of some of the patterns that they inherited from their own childhood, that you just get, you know, everybody's happier, kids are more cooperative, parents feel more connected with their kids, and vice versa.
Absolutely. And that brings me to a question I wanted to ask, Susan, is when you start working with these parents, are many of them able to acknowledge or realize the traits that they receive from their parents? And do they have these moments where, like, oh my gosh, like, I'm acting like my dad, or I'm acting like my mom, or does that help them realize and kind of change that way?
I love that you're asking that, because it's not the conventional approach, but I do find that a lot of our own stuff gets triggered and brought to the surface when we're parenting, you know. So we might have swore up and down, I'm never going to yell at my kids, I'm never going to shame them, I'm never going to threaten them, I'm not going to use bribes the way my parents did. And then in the heat of the moment, you're doing the exact same thing.
Right.
And you're almost watching yourself like, who is this person? What words are coming out of my mouth?
It's unreal. Like,
and so when parents are kind of open to understanding that we have so deeply internalized the patterns and the approaches that our parents used with us, then it takes some of the kind of guilt and shame out of parenting, which I'm a huge anti-fan of. Like, we're so mean to ourselves when we lose our way as parents. And in my community, in my work, I'm really about kindness and understanding and compassion, not only toward our kids, but toward ourselves for sort of stumbling along here, especially when we had difficult childhoods. There's no way that it's not going to manifest in one moment or another when we're stressed or tired or you know, overwhelmed. So it's really reassuring when parents are open to the possibility that, yes, number one, they're doing what their parents did to them, even though they can't believe it and they promise not to. And also that allowing that to just be so is the first step to making some shifts and being more intentional about doing it differently.
What age do kids start to feel the tension between parents?
If there's conflict between the parents?
Yeah.
Birth.
Oh, really? Interesting.
I think kids are incredibly tuned in to us. I mean, it's a survival mechanism for a child who's 100% dependent on their caregiver to look after them and meet their needs, given how helpless children are, you know, human babies are, that there's a heightened sense of awareness and attunement. Now, the child, you know, a one-year-old may not say, I sense a lot of tension between you and mommy.
Mm-hmm.
But we have seen that kids do absorb a lot and observe a lot, and it doesn't mean that parents shouldn't have conflict or fight. It's part of the dance, isn't it? But sometimes, even in very young children, if you and your partner have just had an argument or things are a little rocky and the child seems more distressed or a little more temperamental or crying more, and you think maybe they've picked up on something, you can just say, sweetheart, you know, Daddy and I love each other so much, and you might be feeling that we were a little impatient with each other today. Even with a child who's not going to process that verbally because they're too little. I think it's a great thing, just setting a trajectory of, we don't hide our feelings in this family. We don't run from them or sweep them under the rug, to say, yeah, sometimes being a grown up or married or human is a little bit of a rocky ride, and we'll be fine. And, you know, what you're feeling is what you're feeling, and we're not pretending otherwise.
So kids, then, it's okay for them to see bouts of conflict?
You know, we prefer that children not be a witness to ongoing arguments between parents. It's always best if you can, you know, maybe you give each other a look and you're really unhappy with something that your partner did or said, and the kids are in your midst, and you kind of have your code word, like, you know, peacock feather, and that's an indication, like, I'm not done with this, right? But there's going to be times still when your child witnesses you guys giving dirty looks or saying, well, I don't want to do that, or no, I hate that restaurant, or why did you give her cookies right before dinner? That's just part of being human, and we can aspire to never, you know, have conflict in front of our children, but I think that we can help them make meaning of it in a way that doesn't leave them wondering, you know, where's the floor here? Like, am I just free-floating, by acknowledging, you know what, Daddy and I had a little bit of a disagreement. We love each other so much, and we don't see eye to eye about that thing, and we're going to talk about it, and we love each other, and we love you, so that the child is left knowing also that humans sometimes disagree or have conflict, and that it's normal, and they don't have to, like, pretend that never happened.
But does that send also does that send a message, like, you know, when Jolie, our daughter, she's 4 and she goes off to have relationships and she's like, well, I never saw mommy and daddy fight, or my mom and dad fight, so, you know, it's not right then to have arguments in a relationship. So does that set up kind of bad, what's the word for that? Like, experience then?
Like an expectation or like a panic, like, oh my God, I'm not feeling warm and fuzzy toward my partner, and I never saw my parents feeling that way toward each other. Yeah. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Well, again, you're going to have disagreements in front of your children because that's what humans do. We don't always just sort of float along gracefully like little saints. So I think most children grow up sensing that people do argue and disagree. However, you're right. There's some families that were parents who work so hard to shield their kids from that the kids can grow up thinking something must be wrong here because I'm really having these arguments and fights with my husband and my parents never did. So I don't think there's anything wrong with having small disagreements in front of your kids, as long as you narrate and you acknowledge, you know, Daddy and I don't agree about whether it's okay to have cookies, and I'm a little annoyed with him, and I think he might be a little annoyed with me too, and we love each other and we love you, and we're going to sort out our difference of opinion, so that they're at least, you've laid a little bit of a foundation for them to know that this is part of what it's like to live with another human being, that there are moments when you disagree.
For sure. And I have a kind of a theory around kind of children, and I just want to get your professional opinion, Susan. And it's, you know, it with Jana and I have done a ton of individual therapy, a ton of couples therapy. And you really, with all that work that you do on yourself, you really realize how much comes back to your childhood. And then as a parent, it terrifies you, right? Because you're just on, you know, your hands and knees being like, please, like, I don't want to mess up my kids. And it makes you maybe overthink the whole parenting process. Now, my kind of thought process around it is, and correct me if I'm just completely way off base, is I feel like, no matter what circumstance or situation, granted there's some general traits, whether someone goes through an abuse or neglect or whatever, or abandonment, whatever it may be, I'm sure there's similar traits in people that have gone through that in their childhood. But if you take two separate kids, put them in the same exact situations, one of them might handle or react differently as an adult than maybe the other one would. My reason is just biologically we're all different. So there's no one thing of my childhood was this is all your fault, mom and dad, and you know, and people just want to stand on that, because I look back in my story and with things that I've gone through and being in a 12-step program now, my parents came to me and were very concerned and were questioning, like, how is this our fault? Like, what did we do? And I told them, I was like, look, here's what I've learned. Yes, a lot of stuff comes up from childhood, but I know now and where I'm at that, and I use the same story. I said, if you took someone else, put them in the same childhood, same upbringing, same household as me, they could have not gone to an addiction. They could have had a different issue or no issue at all. So it's just one of those things. I, from my experience, I feel like people that hear that might want to blame their parents or whatever. And I know I don't blame mine. Yes, they contributed in some ways, but all parents do.
I very much agree with that. And I don't know if you know Glennon Melton, but she and I have done a number of parenting classes together. And she wrote these wonderful books, Carry On Warrior and Love Warrior.
I love Love Warrior.
Yeah, so we've had so much fun together, and Glennon will say, look, you know, she went through so much with addiction and her recovery and had this, you know, very loving family and a sister who didn't. So I've seen that a lot in my practice working with kids and with families, that children will kind of process and absorb challenging childhood in different ways. And for instance, I've done a lot of work with a population with the trait of heightened sensitivity. I've done some classes online with Elaine Aaron, who wrote The Highly Sensitive Person, The Highly Sensitive Child. Now, if you have that trait, which about 20% of the population has, then you will pick up more in your childhood, more tension, more if your parent is anxious or depressed, it may have more of an impact on you. And other kids might just skate right by that and not be impacted. So I think there's value in looking at your childhood and how some of the experiences you went through might have informed the challenges or the particular struggles you have or things you have to work on. But I agree that there's no point and no value and not even any validity in pointing your finger at your parents for the flawed way they brought you up. And in turn, when we're parenting our kids now, this panic that we're sort of sending them, giving them a life sentence because we struggle with depression or anxiety or addiction, it's not true. Even if you have a child who's somewhat sensitive and who is experiencing the impact, we're different parents than our parents. If we're helping the child understand, you know what, mommy had a really hard day and is really struggling today, and I love you, and I'm getting support and help. Is there anything you want to ask me about it? Are you, you know, so that the kids don't, we're not sweeping things under the rug the way many of our own parents did when there was a challenge in the family.
Absolutely. And I completely agree, and I appreciate your outlook on that. And the way I kind of try to simplify it is just, it's all that childhood or whatever addiction, it's an explanation, not an excuse to how people are the way they are. But honey, go ahead.
How could we correct anything that we've already screwed up possibly with our daughter? Because that's my fear, as well, you know, just because the first you know, couple years was real rough in our marriage, and I'm like thinking, God, you know, is this, have I already, then if she's going to remember us yelling at each other, you know, we don't do it often anymore. There are times we get a little heightened, but you know, we've done a better job of leaving the room, but it's like, crap. Like, is there a way that I can like fix it, go back and recorrect things?
You know, thank you for kind of being real about it, because what's amazing is, you know, because I'm a family therapist, and for many, many years I was a family therapist in a community with, you know, in Malibu, California, with some of the most wealthy, powerful, famous people in the world, and, you know, and on the cover of magazines looking happy, 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 and, you know, and the truth is, when you're in my line of work, you find out that most people aren't living lives the way theirs look from the outside. And so, you know, you might think and feel all this shame about, oh my God, we fought in front of our daughter. I can't believe it. I know none of my neighbors ever would do that, or, you know, all the ladies at the, you know, it's just not true. You would be really surprised at the truth in most families. For sure, there's some where there's a lot of peace and ease and great communication, but most of us are at least somewhat dysfunctional, and it gets played out heavily in your marriage. So when your daughter, you know, if she was quite young when some of the conflict was going on, you're probably not going to be addressing it in the way you would if she was 10 years old when some of the conflict went on, in which case you would say, you know, sweetie, we had a bumpy few months there when Daddy wasn't staying here or when, you know, whatever the circumstance might have been. Is there anything you want to ask me about that? I'm so sorry that you had to go through that, and it might have been really unsettling for you, and I'm here to answer any questions. The biggest thing that children need isn't to be sheltered from conflict or difficulty. It's to have the freedom and know that their parent is sturdy enough and big enough, and, you know, in my work I talk about being that captain of the ship, captainy enough, that whatever is sort of worrying them or disturbing them, they can bring it to us, so they don't have to hide it from us. They don't have to try and, in their own strange way, process things or make sense of things. That's where we get into trouble. With a child who might have encountered that pre-verbally, if the behavior seems to be showing up, there's wonderful ways that are not like traditional therapy. Like, I like the sand tray therapy. When you see if a child at some point starts manifesting some behaviors and you want to help them kind of untangle them, there's a form of therapy where the therapist has a big tray of sand, and on the wall of their office they'll have hundreds and hundreds of small figurines like ships and pirates and army people and trees, and the child can choose whatever they want and bring those items to the sand tray and create a scene and then work with the sand tray therapist to process some deeper feelings. And of course, as we get older, there's, you know, things like EMDR, which processes pre-verbal trauma in adults. There's other ways to kind of get at the things that might be underpinning it. But I'm still having conversations about mistakes I've made when I was parenting my now 29-year-old son, and they're incredible. There's no expiration date when you say, okay, well, we're not going to talk about that rough patch anymore because he's so much older. You know, he's learning through these conversations about the reality of relationships, the challenges of being a parent, and how to kind of heal things and apologize and make amends even much later down the road.
It's so hard.
It is hard. And if there is,
I know, but fear doesn't help. Being afraid, like, oh my gosh, please, I ask parents, everybody listening, do not approach parenting like, I'm going to ruin it, I'm going to break my child.
I just feel like
kids
I already have.
So
that's where
amazingly
I feel like
resilient.
Yeah, that's where I just feel like, because even someone, I'm going to cry, but even someone said something on Instagram the other day, like, you should leave your husband because you're like, the kids are watching this. And I'm like, well, we don't argue all the time in front of them. But then I'm like, oh crap. Like, maybe they, like, she has heard us like yelling before. So I'm like, okay. Well, maybe that is why she was acting out. And then I start to like blame myself.
Oh,
sorry.
It's okay.
Sweetheart. Yeah, there's strangely, you know, I'm about to do a class. I've done a number of collaborations with Dr. Dan Siegel. Oh, please don't be sorry. Thank you for letting people hear the truth. Parents fight in front of their children. Very few do not. Let me just tell you, as a therapist, when they tell me, very few parents don't argue and fight. Now, some of them have these raging things, and that is where we want to make it possible later. Even 15 years later, sweetheart, you might not even remember the day that I asked Daddy to leave. I was so mad, and I threw something across the, you know, I mean, you're not going to play it out if they're not asking.
No, that's
but you
about
can
accurate.
Certainly generalize and say, but here's the thing, like when I do the work with Dan Siegel, for instance, who does a lot on neuroscience of attachment, and we're doing something together again, so I'm kind of prepping for that class, we don't aim for perfect parenting. It's not helpful to children. It's better for children to not always have us be perfectly attuned and to learn to kind of ride that wave, that natural wave of being human, and to make amends and apologize and make repair when it's needed. So it's very dangerous to parent in a way that you're terrified that you're going to ruin your child. Kids are much sturdier than we believe, as long as we make it okay for them and safe for them to tell us what they're going through.
Yeah,
for sure. And we'll, before we leave you, Susan, you kind of answered my question right there, but if there is one more bit of advice you would give to, like, you know, new young parents, besides what you just said about not being fearful, what would you say to young parents like ourselves?
Well, for another really big one that people don't do well enough, I don't think, is get support. Mm. We're not meant to raise children one or two parent household. We're meant to raise children in a small community or tribe or village, and most parents are not doing that. Mm. And it's really hard to be a parent. It's exhausting physically. It's emotionally taxing. It's relentlessly demanding. So I think it's so important when you're starting out with young children to find like-minded, like-hearted people and really create an extended family of sorts so that those are people you can be honest with. You can say, could you please take my kids? I'm so tired. I just want to watch TV or take a nap, and then I'll take yours tomorrow. And to sort of let yourself be propped up and don't have an expectation. There's this great quote, lower your expectations, you'll achieve more. You know,
I love that. I heard another one too.
The dishes might be dirty, you know.
Yeah.
Enjoy your children as much as you can. Ask for help when you need it. Lower the bar in terms of what you're expecting. When you lose your way, not if, but when you lose your way or things go south in the house or with you, say, you know what, sweetheart, that just happened, and you might be noticing that I was really mad or I was really upset or Daddy and I weren't being very sweet with each other. We love each other so much. We're learning how to work through our differences. Is there anything you want to say or ask about that? Is there anything you need to feel more comfortable? And kids will tell you if you make it safe. Now, if the child says, well, I hate it when you fight, I wish you would never fight again, and you say, well, okay, we'll never fight again, or you make some promise you can't keep, I don't think they're served by that. You would then say, well, gosh, I know, it feels so uncomfortable when we're arguing. I can understand why you wish we would never fight again. And as much as I wish I could tell you that won't happen, it might, because, you know, being a person, a human, is sometimes means we don't see things the same way as the people we like and live with. But I can promise you that we're going to keep working through things, and you can always tell us how you're feeling, and we love each other and we love you. And so you're not sweeping stuff under the rug. You're making it possible to really tell their truth, but you're being realistic also. And you have to have faith that your kids really do come through when we can allow them to turn to us with whatever their truth is, even when it's hard to hear.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Thank you so much for all this helpful stuff. And sorry again that I cried. I feel stupid, but I really appreciate it. And,
please don't be sorry.
Well, Susan, thank you so much. And where can our listeners find you if they want to get more information about your literature and what else you have to offer?
Yeah. Oh, there's a monthly membership support group. There's co-parenting with a narcissist support group. There's tons of classes on chores and highly sensitive kids and screen time. We do a lot of stuff on kids and screen time. So it's just at SusanStiffelman.com.
Awesome. Well, I'm signing up right now. So thank you so much, Susan. We really appreciate it.
Thank you,
Susan.
Have
a great day.
Thank you for your wonderful work.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So I've recently got some boots in the mail that I had to try because I'm a boot girl. I love boots. But wow, I'm never going back. Tecovas, you guys. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather and custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots.
They always say moms are really hard to shop for, but the truth is moms will love everything, especially if it's coming from Macy's. Macy's makes shopping for Mother's Day easy. Macy's Mother's Day gift guide has the perfect gift to make mom feel special. You can shop by price, $25 and under to $100 and under, or category like fragrance, handbags, and more. So if you don't know what to get them, Macy's got you covered. Or they have gift lists if you are really stuck, like the list for the mom who has everything, for the plant lover or for grandma. Some of their top Mother's Day gifts include Dolce & Gabbana perfume, Coach floral printed leather, Cassie crossbody bag. Whatever you need this Mother's Day, find it at Macy's. Shop Macy's.com/giftfinder. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. Finding the right person for your team can be challenging. When it's time to hire, turn to Express Employment Professionals. In a recent study by the Harris Poll on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 63% of hiring decision makers are planning to increase headcount at their company this spring, and more than half are doing so due to increased volumes of work. Don't let the work overwhelm you. Let Express handle your hiring. Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier. We're in the business of recruiting talent. Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your staffing challenges. With more than 860 locally owned offices, you'll find one near you at expresspros.com. Each year, more than 70,000 businesses turn to Express to manage their hiring. Make the most of your time and leave recruiting and hiring to the experts at Express. Visit expresspros.com today.
Love season.
Are you doing okay?
Yeah, it's just, like I said, the other podcast, I think last week's, I just have a really hard time when someone mentions something about the kids. And I had put something on Instagram, a photo of us, and in the comment, you know, said, until he does it again. And what a bad example you are for the kids. No wonder why, you know, your daughter's acting out the way that she is. to let your kids be around in that kind of environment, and then just said like I was a weak B, and it just really like there because I do have some guilt. Like there's been some fights that I don't ever want her to remember seeing, and you know I know we've done a better job of it now going in the room and waiting until they go to bed. Like we've done a great job of it. I think sometimes we still linger in conversations when I'm like, stop, you know, because I think we still have a hard time pausing. So I just feel like bad. I'm like, oh my God, maybe that is why, like she's, you know, like is that the reason that she's acting out or I don't know. So
you want to hear my thoughts?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate that person wrote that. Mm-hmm. And
because it's not like we're arguing every single day in the house. And it's not like, I mean.
Can I share my thoughts?
Sorry.
I got it. First of all, she's acting out because she's four. And that's what four-year-olds do. Anyone with a four-year-old or has had a four-year-old can attest to that. Right, Mark?
100%.
Thank you. Secondly, the best thing that we can do, in my opinion, is we've gotten through the worst of our fighting. We've grown a lot in our arguing. We have. You know we have. So it's only going to get better. We're only going to get better at pausing and communicating. So the fact that we're willing to do the work that we have to get to a better place that we are now compared to where we were is the best thing we can do for ourselves and for Jolie. And for Jace, because what Jolie's going to end up remembering isn't the previous 4 years. It's going to be what she sees from now on. Those memories are going to trump anything.
But will she remember you being gone for 4 months, will she remember, you know, the me crying with her in my arm? Like, will she remember those things? Like, that's what I'm, will she remember when I threw that thing at you? Or, you know, that's where I'm just like, that feeling. Cause I,
trust me, as much pain and shame as I feel around going 70 days without seeing her, I would like to think that when she was 6 to 7, 8 months old, she's not going to remember me not being there.
But why do they really, say since baby they sense it? Like, that's just like...
Sure, they can sense, but also it depends on what they have from that moment on. Mm-hmm. They can sense it, and if it continues that way, then they'll definitely be more likely to remember. Mm-hmm. But when Jolie only knows from like this age, when she's really becoming influenced and impressioned mm-hmm. by how we are, like, she's going to remember more of how we handle things now.
I just take so much pride in being a good mom, and not, I know I'm going to do things wrong, but that I can impact them in a negative way with my actions make me just, that's where I just crumble, as you heard, because I just want to be so cautious and conscious of that, because I don't want her to, to know that it could be my fault that she's going to have some emotional issues because she saw me screaming and you yelling. And
but just like I even mentioned to Susan, that Susan agreed and validated, is regardless, like, there's no perfect parent. We know that there's going to be something that we could easily turn into being our fault when they get older. Like, oh, Jolie's in a teenager and lying a little bit more. Oh, that's all my fault because all I did was lie for a long time in my life. No, it's not that. It's what she was saying is coming to them, not from a dictator authoritative place all the time, being like, point the finger, you're grounded, but coming to them and having a discussion around it. Hey, why'd you feel the need to lie? And creating that safe place that she was talking about, that you and I have talked about, to create a safe place for them to come and discuss those feelings and the reasonings behind behaviors.
Mark, have you ever fought in front of your kids with your wife?
Yeah. And actually, you know, I did read something once that I take solace in, that when kids see you fight in front of when kids see their parents fight, and then later, or even the next day, see them hugging and kissing and everything's fine, it teaches them conflict resolution.
Yep.
It teaches them, like you kind of broached this up with Dr. Stiffelman, the idea that if they never see you fight, and then they're in a relationship one day, mm-hmm. and they get in a fight, they're going to think, this is it, this is over, this is a disaster. Mm-hmm. But if they see that fights can be resolved, and that fights aren't really that big of a deal, they'll handle it better when they disagree with future partners. So I think there is something to that.
100%.
And of course, I'm justifying that because, yeah, we've done that before, and that helps me sleep better at night. And to Mike's point, you know, four-year-olds act out. That's why they call it the effing fours, right? That's what every parent says about when your kid's 4 years old. Right. That's what they do. They act out. But also, like she was saying, kids are so resilient. And when I was going through a really hard time where I was traveling constantly and really having a hard time being away from the kids, I was talking to my mom, and she says, well, your dad left for, he was in the Army, and so he would leave for training for like 3 weeks a year. He'd go away for 3 weeks once a year. And I said, really? I have absolutely no recollection of that ever happening. She said, really? Yeah, every February he'd be gone for 3 weeks. Yep, don't remember that at all. So that made me feel better that they're not going to remember me going to Brazil for 3 weeks. You know, that's just barely going to be a blip on their radar.
Mm-hmm. That's true. My dad did shift work all growing up, and he also was part of, I don't remember what they called it, but basically in the fire department, where anytime there's like a big travesty at another country, he'd be part of a crew that would go over there and help and everything like that. So he'd be gone for weeks, and I remember him doing that, but I don't remember
my parents leaving, but what I remember starting at age 5 was my parents fighting and being scared of my dad and being scared of that fighting, which is why I'm trying so hard to make sure that we're not arguing in front of Jolie, which again, we haven't. Even with this last incident, like, we didn't, like, nothing, no argument at all. It was all in the bedroom.
Right.
Which I think we did a good job with that. But that's why I'm so careful and scared now that she's four, because I'm like, oh my gosh, it's one more year until I remember things. And then I start putting all this pressure on myself, like, oh crap, like, okay, we have to make sure that we really lock it up.
Yeah, but to your point, you start remembering at whatever age you did, but things never changed between your mom and dad. That's my whole point. They never changed.
No.
They only got worse, really.
Yeah.
So we have the gift of doing this work earlier in our kids' upbringing, that they don't have to be, you know, witness to that.
So, anyway. It's so hard.
Parents out there, give yourself some grace. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, email us and let us know that we're normal. Please. I think that's a show, right, guys?
That is a show. That is okay. Another episode of Wine
Down.
That's
a wrap.
See you guys next week. You know, I don't even know where to start with this, because it's the comfort, it's the style, it's the whole look. That's what I love about my Tecovas. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Shop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, Tecovas.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Discover the rich, smooth taste of matcha love made with Japanese green tea and real matcha. There are so many culinary treats to create with this precious powder that go beyond the traditional tea ceremony. Everything from lattes to baked goods to smoothies, experience the vitality of the whole tea leaf. Matcha is vibrant in taste and full of powerful health benefits. Get 25% off all matcha love products on Itoan.com using code JANA. That's code JANA. At Itoen.com, available on Amazon and Itoen.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming, like, female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff, and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.